Imperial Leader, the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, great adventurer, great statesman, and incomparable leader of a people at war against the forces of tyranny. A great cavalcade, the life of Winston Churchill, has now reached its climax. 1940, 1941, years of crisis, years of titanic struggle. But the time has found the man. The empire has found its truest and greatest leader, the leader who utters words of warning and of cheer.
How sad. Neville Chamberlain dead.
Sad, too, to think that he will not live to see the victory that will come.
Poor old man. I must go along and see Mrs. Chamberlain. We've become such good friends. I must talk to her.
Yes, and convey my condolences. We fought in Parliament in those old days, but I'm glad we were such good friends at the end. For all his age and for all his efforts at appeasement, I knew nobody more determined than he to stamp out Nazism. Oh, well, I must get along, too.
Through the house?
No, I'm going to walk round London. Where's my tin hat and my gas mask?
Oh, do be careful, Winston.
Yes, I'll be as careful as I usually am.
Which isn't careful at all. You're always so reckless of your own safety.
Not reckless, but convinced that I'll still be at the helm when Hitler's only a memory. Goodbye.
Time bomb has been removed by the bomb disposal squad. A very large cavity, too, very large.
Please move over. Move over. Make way, please.
Blimey. Look where they're going and bring a judge to the blooming pub, Al.
Coming to something when they start bombing the boozers. Why, every pint of beer helps the war effort on account of the tax.
Guys, someone ought to complain about this, Al. Kind of a drinking interfere with or the government to go broke.
I think if we move over here, I'd like to see what happened to this terrace. I believe it was hit twice.
Yes, everything I've had and owned has been busted by the blooming bombing Nazis, it has. Not a shred nor a stick left. And I want to know...
Shh, here comes the king.
The king? Well, thank God we've got a ruler who's not afraid to walk among his own people. God bless your majesty.
They can laugh and they can cry, your majesty, these common people. What valor in the face of incredible terror from the skies. Grim, determined faces. Great spirits. How proud we can all feel to be British.
Mr. Churchill, may I ask a question?
You may. I'll not guarantee that question will be answered.
But there's a report from Germany and Italy that they'll suggest a 24-hour armistice on Christmas Day. What are your reactions to that?
An armistice? After attacking defenseless women and children, destroying their homes, causing untold misery and distress? Do these monsters dare to invoke the divine words, peace on earth, goodwill towards men? Such a suggestion sounds like a mockery.
Am I to take it, then, that if such a request is made, it will be refused?
You may say that we will not even consider such a suggestion. As far as we are concerned, there will be no peace on earth until the forces of evil are completely destroyed.
And does that go for the Italians, too?
I have not forgotten that the day chosen for the attack on Albania in April 1939 was the anniversary of the death of our Lord. Good Friday. Let the people who committed that sacrilege not make it greater now by attempting to establish a false peace on the anniversary of our Lord's birth. There will be no armistice.
A cargoes, Alexander. That's our problem.
Cargoes of food, of raw materials, of aeroplanes, of arms. We've got to keep those cargoes moving.
Yes, yes. The latest figures are rather disturbing. Takes us back to 1917 again.
For the week ending November the 25th, we've lost 19 ships of a total of 75,500 tons, as well as three Allied ships of 12,400 tons. Something's got to be done about that, Alexander.
Yeah, the submarine was always a menace, and always will be. They're Hitler's most potent weapon.
We beat them last time, and we'll beat them again. We've got to beat them if we want to survive. Whatever happens, our cargoes must be kept moving through all the seven seas. Dirty British coaster with a salt-caked smokestack, butting through the channel in the mad March days, with a cargo of tying coal, road rails, pig lead, firewood, ironware, and cheap tin trays. Yes, Macefield should add another verse to that, showing the dirty British coaster as she is today, with a cargo of arms and planes, and death waiting just under the next swell.
Oh, it's terribly worrying. We're doing our best to counter them.
But... I know you are. But we've got to do even better. We've got to begin a counter war.
I'm calling a meeting of experts here today. We're going into the question very thoroughly, trying to evolve a new method of dealing with the U-boats.
What time's the meeting?
2 o'clock.
I'll be here.
You're not going to attend personally.
I've decided to take personal charge of the counter war against submarines. The cargoes must be kept moving. The dirty British coaster must be protected. From now on, I hold myself personally responsible for whatever happens.
Nero R approaches, gentlemen. That is why I've summoned this cabinet.
There is no time fixed for this attack?
No. The general plan has been prepared. The actual commencement has been left in Wavell's hands as far as the army is concerned. And in the hands of Cunningham in the Mediterranean.
With the Italian reverses in Greece, now is the best time to strike.
The Italians will crumble. They haven't any heart in the struggle.
I have faith in Wavell and his great army. But for the present, we must be content to be patient. Patience, a virtue I did not appreciate once, has come to me with old age.
Never that, Mr. Prime Minister. You'll never grow old.
Thank you, Atlas. Well, there's only one other matter to discuss. Our home defenses. Mr. Eden.
I am pleased to announce that our defenses have been completed.
Excellent.
Great organization, Eden.
That is very good. We have reports that Hitler is making tremendous plans for another attempted invasion. How this will be attempted, we are, of course, quite in the dark. But it is our task to anticipate every possible course he may take and guard against it. I think we've stopped every loophole. There is no Achilles heel now.
This column
has been dealt with adequately. The darkest hour, I think, we have passed through that terrible period. The dawn will soon break. But come, business. If you peruse your report this morning.
The great offensive against Italy begins. In Cairo, General Sir Archibald Wavell issues his stirring order of the day.
The campaign we are about to undertake is of vital importance, not only to the destiny of Egypt and the Middle East. It carries with it implications of far-reaching importance. Our victory will reverberate throughout the world. Our victory will have effects far beyond our immediate horizon and may indeed considerably shorten the war. May good fortune attend your valor and your enterprise. To arms and to victory.
Churchill speaks in the House of Commons.
Because we feel easier in ourselves and see our way more clearly through our difficulties and dangers than we did some months ago. Because foreign countries, friends and foes, recognize the giant, enduring, resilient strength of Great Britain and the British Empire. Do not let us dull for one moment the sense of the awful hazard in which we stand. Mr. Speaker and honorable members of the House, do not let us lose the conviction that it is only by supreme and superb exertions, unwearied and indomitable, that we shall save our souls alive. No one can predict or even imagine how this terrible war against German and Nazi aggression will run its course. Long, dark months of trial and tribulation lie before us. Not only many dangers, but many more misfortunes, many mistakes and disappointments will surely be our lot. Death and sorrow will be our companions on the journey. Hardship, our garment. Constancy and valor, our only shield. We must be reunited. We must be undaunted. We must be inflexible. Our qualities and deeds must burn and glow through the gloom of Europe until they become the veritable beacons of its salvation.
The cavalcade of Winston Churchill's life, begun in those peaceful days of 1874, has reached its climax. What memories does this great man carry in his mind? Memories of sadness and of gladness, dejection and of grandeur, of defeat and of victory. Cuba, the Sudan, South Africa, the House of Commons, the Great War and peace. The drift once again to a war against Prussianism. Until today, as imperial leader, he stands at the head of a vast empire, at the side of His Majesty the King, as most trusted and respected of the peoples of an empire, hope, pray, and believe that it will be his great honor to deliver one great day the greatest oration of many great orations. The speech which will tell us once again that an empire has won its way from war to victory, that an empire centered in one small island has once again destroyed the forces of darkness and brought the splendid sun of liberty to a saddened world.